To be back at Bayshore Christian Fellowship. Thank you for having us, Pastor Michael. And you know, one thing that I notice when I come here, I get to visit a lot of churches, is that Pastor Michael, he doesn't seem like the guy that just comes and shows up on a Sunday and gives a speech. I really see in the way how he carries himself and from talking with him, is that he's so much more committed than just being here on a Sunday, that this he's really committed his full life to this ministry, and he'll take an outside the box and set up something where you do the reclamation and say, okay, we had a vision, and he'll say, you know what? Let's bring that vision into fruition. Let's go out there, and let's go worship the Lord. So that's really good. I admire that about him, and he has a good helpmate too, and I see she's very active, and you know, she's doing the announcements, and I could feel the Holy Spirit coming through her. And a nice compliment God gave him. It's a real blessing. So I'd like to thank my wife for coming out today with the child. It's a big help. You know, last time we were here, she was pregnant. Six, seven months pregnant. So things were very difficult, but not that things got a lot easier now that we have a four-month-old baby. So we're learning the joys and the challenges of parenthood. So all you parents, I respect you so much more. All those sleepless nights and those months where you are on a lack of sleep. But it's so worth it. We're so blessed to have baby Jace with us. And, you know, me and Shiny, the whole pregnancy, we prayed for a natural delivery. That was something that was really on our heart. So the day came, we went to the hospital. Shiny screamed and shouted for 8 hours straight in labor. Then the moment was coming, and the doctor said, uh-oh, we have an emergency. We have to rush you to the operating room and do a C-section. So we're like, okay, Lord, if it's your will. They get her in the operating room, and the vitals on the baby totally changed. And the doctor said, wow, your baby, he loves the operating room. We can do a natural delivery. 3 pushes, and the baby was out. Shiny never felt a thing. So praise God, we give him glory that he answers prayer. He's faithful. So yeah, last time, I want to thank you guys for the gifts that you gave, that we brought back to India, that we poured into the ministry to keep the doors open while we reach out and bless the kids in the slums where they have a place to come and hear about Jesus. Well, also, I just want to say if there's any college football fans out there, I'm sure you're happy because, you know, it's college football season. I'm excited to be back until the beginning of October. I get to catch a couple games. And I'm so blessed that I got a wife that loves college football. They don't even have American football in India. So we met up with some of my fellow alumni. I graduated from Rutgers. I'm a Jersey guy. And the game started at 10 o'clock West Coast. So it didn't finish until about 2 o'clock in the morning. So I met up at my buddy's house. And they're like, man, Jonathan's so lucky. How do you get a wife that likes football? Our wives hate it. You know, I'm like, well, that's just a little blessing from God. Well, by now, I think everyone has probably done the ice bucket challenge. Because I know that's circulating. That's the big thing going on right now. I thought I was going to get by on it. And I said, oh, good. Nobody's going to nominate me. I'll sneak through. But then some guy that I used to go to church with a couple years ago at a right field, he says, oh, I'm going to do the ice bucket challenge, and I'm going to give my $100 to missionary Jonathan Krause. I thought this guy forgot about me. I didn't even know he remembered me. And he said, I'm also going to nominate him. So like any good husband, I did it and I nominated my wife. So it was a lot of fun. Actually, the family got involved. It's nice to be back. So this is our second time back with you guys, and we're really glad to be here. But the third time, you guys can meet us in India. Come visit. We'd love to have you. Little update, what God's doing in India in our lives is, you know, I remember when I first went, a visa was an issue. And some lady, she said, oh, I think I got a word from God. You're not going to get your visa to India. I said, I render those words powerless in Jesus' name. I got my visa. And I didn't talk to her much from that day forth. She's still calling us, come over, we want to see the baby. I'm like, okay. But now I no longer have a visa. I pretty much have Indian citizenship. I have a thing that looks like an Indian passport, so I don't even have to go through the visa process anymore. You know, I went from a tourist visa to a work visa for 1 year to pretty much Indian citizenship, what an Indian citizen would get when they leave the country. So praise God, He wants to keep me there. Another notable thing, before we really get into it, is that I started driving in the busiest city in the whole world. When I say busy, I'm talking about a city that is twice as densely populated than New York City. I took Shine to the New York City. She was like, this is not even busy. This is nothing here. It's so quiet in New York City when I go back now because I've been living in the busiest city. So now I'm driving on the left side of the road, on the right side of the car. And let me tell you, it is an adventure every day. I got in more accidents in my first month than I did in 34 years of America. That's not exaggerating. It's pretty rough over there. So now I'm starting to, you know, get the hang of it a little bit. And one other disclaimer I want to put out while we're talking about social media is watch what you say to your friends that are missionaries on Facebook. See, when one friend were talking, we used to play football when we were little, and then he's like, oh, John, I like what you're doing. That's really good. Let me know if I can help you with anything. I said, hey, by the way, we can use the air conditioner system. Would you like to sponsor that? So praise God, after 4 years, two air conditioner systems later, we're fully air conditioned, and we even got a new ceiling in the slums where we're at. So this is like, really, God is just lifting us up and just saying, okay, I'm going to raise you up and just show these people that you're serving the living God. So we're really blessed. The kids are happy. They were so excited. And, you know, I mean, I was exhausted before the kids got there just setting up. I was in full sweat. But God has really answered a prayer and a need. You know, on the more serious side of things, things are getting bad out there. If you noticed on the news with ISIS over there in Iraq, and you look over there and Palestine bombing Israel, and now we have Russia trying to invade on Ukraine. The time is getting near, and God has called us, you and I, to go out there and share the gospel with these people before Jesus comes. But you know, I just read a quote, and it said this: we talk of the second coming, half the world has never heard of the first. Isn't that so true? Well, I got some statistics to back that up. You can actually just go to the next slide. So let me ask one of the kids, how many people in the world do you think never heard of Jesus? You give me a number, big number. I'm sorry? Several. Okay, see, he doesn't want to put himself out there, so he's staying in the ballpark estimation. I got you. How about one of you two? How many people do you think never heard of Jesus in the world? And I'll give you a hint. There's about 7 billion people in the world. About 7 billion. Go ahead. That's pretty close. You know what? I'm going to give you a little gift. Come up here. I'm going to give you something from India. This is actually a collector's item. My friend gave it to me, and because you put yourself out there, you took a chance. You know, there's 3 billion people in the world that never heard of Jesus. That's 40% about of the world's population. Now, I didn't gather these statistics. This is from several different sources that I read, but one notable resource that's like the guide for us missionaries to see the different areas and how God's working and where the work needs to be done, and that's joshuaproject.com. Do you know Coca-Cola is doing a better job of us, and their vision is to put a Coke in everybody's hand. And if you see it online, it's just amazing the lengths they're willing to go for their product. But we have the best product in the whole world. We're talking about the living God, life after death. eternity. So we do have some work. So today, I want to give you a challenge, and it's going to require an urgent response. Let me just give you an illustration. If your house was on fire, would you consider that an emergency? Well, I consider souls and people gone to hell an emergency, and I take that very seriously, and I really mean that with all my heart. Our mission in India with Love Never Fails International is to introduce children that live in the slums and their families to Jesus. Today, I want to talk briefly with you about how do we preach the gospel in a part of the world that is 95% Muslims, Hindus, and other religions, and only about 5% Christians, with the population of 1.2 billion people. Talk about feeling a little out of place at times. I also want to talk to you about why do I believe that I'm working for the most strategic ministry in the whole world? Children's ministry. And why India? And lastly, but not least, is how you are directly connected to the success of God's work on the mission field in India. So right now, I want to go to our Bible scripture for today. If we can go to, you already got it? You guys are doing an excellent job up there. Good. We're going to be reading through the book of James, chapter 2. So everybody, you can open up your Bibles right now. The book of James, chapter 2. It's on the overhead. My dear brothers and sisters, how can you claim to have faith in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ if you favor some people over others? For example, suppose someone comes into your meeting dressed in fancy clothes and expensive jewelry, and another comes in who is poor and dressed in dirty clothes. If you give special attention and a good seat to the rich person, but you say to the poor one, "You can stand over there, or I'll sit on the floor." Well, doesn't this discrimination show that your judgments are guided by evil motives? Listen to me, dear brothers and sisters. Hasn't God chosen the poor in this world to be rich in faith? Aren't they the ones who will inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him? But you dishonor the poor. Isn't it the rich who oppress you and drag you into court? Aren't they the ones who slander Jesus Christ, whose noble name you bear? And now we're going to read verses 14 through 20 of James 2 also. 14 through 20. What good is it, dear brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith but don't show it by your actions? Can that kind of faith save anyone? Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say goodbye and have a good day. Stay warm and eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. What good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? When I went through this scripture, one thing that really stood out to me in my heart was that God is saying, be humble, work with the poor. Working with the poor goes so against the flesh. if we're not poor. Let me tell you how hard it is to stop with a beggar kid on the busiest streets in the whole world of Mumbai and stop there and talk to this kid, and everybody's stopping and looking and people are coming up. What are you saying to this kid? And God knows what other people are thinking. All the intentions might be good, but everybody else might think you have bad intentions. It's God saying, get out the box. Don't focus on what people are going to think. Focus on me. You're not doing it for people. In fact, you're only a little bit doing it for them, the person you're helping. You're doing it for me. Next slide. So in the back, there's a little girl. She has the black over her head. Do you notice her? It's a little dark on the projector. She's wearing a burqa. Her name is Shifa. Shifa is from a Muslim family. She lives in one of the slums where we work at and we minister to. When I met Shifa, she was not enrolled in school. Her mom said they had a problem. She took her out. Her mom is a Muslim that wears a full black burqa and a gown along with her family members. Well, girl not in school, we reach out to the kids that want education, and we offer English to these kids. So we went and talked with her family and said, why don't you start coming to our center where we teach English? And if we notice that she has a desire to learn, then we'll sponsor her to go to a private English school. Oh, wow. They were so happy, the family. Muslim family, they know we teach about Jesus because the other people in that area have told them. They sent their daughter willingly. Go to the next slide. And now Shifa is with us. I wanted you to see this picture. She's in the front, on the bottom left, the second from the left. There's Shifa. Well, she came to our center. What is she doing? Next slide. Just like her and the other 29 kids, they're getting ready to watch the story of Jesus for children. We don't have any time to waste for these kids. English is good, but that's only for a lifetime. We got to really get them Jesus, and we got to teach them from all different angles. So this right here is the Jesus film, which is in their language, Hindi. So Shifa's able to follow along. Next slide. During this film, Shifa got to learn that Jesus died for her, that her sins are wiped away, that it's not by her good works that she's going to go to heaven. Like Muslims say, you have to have more bad than good. Okay, well, what are you going to do if you die and you have 50% good and 50% bad? Where are you going? Yeah, I'm wondering, how would you feel if you're a Muslim and that was like your whole life depended on that? But for them, when they come in, for us, it's an easy pitch. Believe in Jesus, put your faith in him. Those who confess in the Lord, you'll be up there with him. So showing her this video helps her to realize about the Jesus that we talk about. Next slide. Actually, now I'm going to show you a little video of how we bring the kids in and what does it look like when these kids worship coming from Hindu and Muslim backgrounds. If we could just show this short clip.
बहुत प्यार करता है मैं
हालेलुया
आई एम सब मिलकर उसकी स्तुति करें और उसके नाम को ऊंचा उठाए आमेन आई एम वॉकिंग इन द लाइट ऑफ द लॉर्ड हालेलुया
हालेलुया
Now this song is saying, I bow down and worship you, Lord.
Oh,
You know, it's amazing what God can do in a Hindu Muslim country. He can do way more than that over here. We have so much more freedom. But those are the things that Shifa's exposed to. You can cut that one. We'll save that one until a minute. You know, I remember when Shifa first came in the classroom and I asked the kids in general, Yeshu Masih, me vishwash karte hai. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, a lot of the kids, they said yes because they've been with us. But Shifa, she was new. She's from a Muslim family. And those are the hardest kids. The Hindu kids are not as difficult, but the Muslim ones are indoctrinated. Shifa goes to Muslim classes 5 days a week. Okay, so when we talked about putting her in English school, the mom was like, is she still going to be able to attend her Muslim classes? But listen, I don't look at that we're competing with them. There is no comparison with the living God. They can go 10 days a week. If they only come once to us, they will have the upper hand because the word of God is alive and active, and it does not return void. So that's my faith is in God's word and his power. So Shifa came to us, and I said, do you believe in Jesus? She looked around at the other kids and said, raise your hands if you do. She looked around and she's like, she didn't really know what to do. She didn't even know about Jesus. This was all new to her, 7 years old. But now I can tell you today, that is not the same story. God is rewriting Shifa's life. And now she has put her faith in the Lord. And now she worships with the best of them in the class. And she's not the same little girl that walked in when she first came. If we can go to the next slide with Shifa. Yep, here she is. We took her to get her uniform for her new English school. She was so happy. Now she got her uniform. She got her shoes. Next slide. She got a brand new book bag. She got to pick it out. This is all new to her. She's just a little girl from the slums with like 10 people living in a one room. Next slide. Now, Shifa is going to be called to be salt and light to this world. Now she's a bright and shining light. She doesn't even have the same smile as she used to have. I'm telling you, God has did a tremendous thing in her life. And really, just to be able to be there and see that is why I go to a developing country to pull out little jewels and treasures like this. This is what makes it worth it. The kingdom of God throughout the world would not be established by lone rangers, but by people of God working together. I'm not alone over there in India. I work with a lot of people. And also in America, I'm not alone because I have people like you that'll come alongside of me to help make God's work possible. If we go to the next slide. So here's an invitation for you. You want to come visit India? We'd love to have you. So I want to invite all of you to come visit us in India. Come work with the kids. These kids will be jumping all over you. They're so excited when we have volunteers. It will be life-changing for you. You will never regret this. Really, we have more work than we know what to do with. I'm telling you, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Next slide. We had a volunteer that came in from Singapore. I didn't know what God had in store, other than he had a heart for the Lord and he had a background working with children. Let me tell you, this guy really made a difference. He actually sponsored Shifa for $300 for the whole year that pays for her schooling, book bag, all her books, supplies, shoes, uniform, and if anything else comes up, we'll cover it. She's taken care of. They don't have any worries. Next slide. And also him coming as a volunteer, he got to see the child that he sponsored and he got to bless them with a prayer before he left. Next slide. We also had a guy named Mike. He was on a summer break from the University of Michigan. He came and volunteered with us. Here he is in some of the kids' home. Those four kids in the back, they live in a room that's way beyond small. And next slide, he got to come in and he got to teach English to the kids. We can all teach English. You know, if you have a heart for the Lord, you can share the gospel with them. You don't have to know the language. We can translate for you. So whatever you do for God's kingdom, whether you come volunteer and come on the front line, or if you're here and you're sending an offering to bless God's work, just know that love never fails, that love will be received. Play that next clip. So I have a story I want to close with. I want to introduce you to Karen Watson. See if we can get this open. Karen Watson was a missionary that went to Iraq, which is no easy task. I wouldn't want to be there. But you know what? Most of you probably wouldn't want to be in India unless you're called. So I can understand her calling. Because I have an uncle who's a missionary. And whenever we would come back to America, he'd say, oh, tasty cakes, oh, cheese steak. I'm like, why don't you just live in America? You can have everything here. Why be over there? Now I understand the calling. Listen, I didn't wake up one day and say, I want to get rich, let me be a missionary. No. My wife will tell you, I complain over there at times. It's not always easy. You know, the flesh is weak, but the spirit is willing. It's a higher calling. It's okay, if you can get that going. What do? Oh, you got it, okay. Those are the kids that you are impacting and making a difference in their lives. Let me tell you, they fight to get in line to come into the center. We got to go down there and do crowd control. Really, we're like tear gas and everything out there. And the neighbors want to fight with us in the slums because we got 30 kids coming in. They're all pumped up. They want to come in. So it's a joy. It is a joy. And it's a blessing from God. But now I want to just close with this about somebody that really laid it all down on the line. And her name is Karen Watson. She knew what it was to be real, be curious, and to be strange. Karen had gone to Iraq to help with the people in need there. She knew of the danger there, but she seemed to hear a different voice calling her to do what others would not. Neighbors of Karen said she would always call me whenever anything would happen in the country of Iraq. For instance, when the United Nations building was bombed and numerous people were killed, she had been working with the UN in that very building coordinating relief efforts. She was a missionary sent out by church. She was in and out of that building daily. Just by the providence of God, she was not there the day of the bombing. She quickly called me to say she was safe, and she did that several times when there was trouble. But on March 15th, 2004, was different. Neighbors and other church members heard news that five international missionaries were shot in Iraq. I was thinking, well, maybe Karen will call in a minute. She always calls, neighbors said, but she didn't call. She and three others were killed when the vehicle they were riding in was ambushed in the northern city of Iraq. Later that night, neighbors remembered the letter Karen had written to them before she left for work in Iraq with the instructions that it was not to be open unless she was killed. He opened a letter, and here is what it said. Dear Pastor Phil And Pastor Roger, you should only be opening this letter in the event of my death. When God calls us, there are no regrets. I tried to share my heart with you as much as possible, from my heart for the nations. I wasn't called to a place, I was called to Him. To obey was my objective, to suffer was expected. His glory, my reward. His glory, my reward. One of the most important things to remember right now is to preserve the work. I am writing this as if I am still working with my people group. Thank you all so much for your prayers and support. Surely your reward in heaven will be great. Thank you for investing in my life and spiritual well-being. Keep sending missionaries out. Keep raising up fine young pastors. In regards to any funeral service, keep it small and simple. Yes, simply, just preach the gospel. Be bold and preach the life-saving, life-changing, forever eternal gospel. Give glory and honor to our Father. I was called not to comfort or success, but to obedience. There is no joy outside of knowing Jesus and serving Him. I love you too and my church family. In His care, Shalom, Karen. Do you know, India, about 3-4 months back, they had an election and that the Congress is no longer running India, a country of 1.2 billion people. It's now run by the BJP party, which is a Hindu radical political party. The guy that was the head of that is now the prime minister, like the president of India now. He's the only guy in the world that was ever refused a visa to America for religious injustice. What a great guy to have running your country. So, you know, as I'm going out of my comfort zone, leaving America and going into a country of the unknown, every day I walk into the slums, I know that the inevitable, the unforeseen could happen. It could be people coming to Christ, or it could be somebody persecuting me. This last trip was the toughest. I was persecuted like never before. Threatened, people in my face, their fist up, somebody tried to beat me with the shoe, all types of crazy things happening. And God just kept encouraging me. This is where you're to be. There was times where I was thinking, I don't want to deal with this anymore. Okay? And there's times I do get scared. You know, I'm no tough guy. I just go over there because of God's calling. A lot of times I get there, I'm like, oh Lord, why did I come here again? Why did I do this? I'm thinking, because the reality sets in. But as why we're back, we do have a new child, and we have to increase our monthly support by 20%. So we can continue to be over there and serve Shifa and reach out to other kids that are in need to rescue them out of the slums. Also, while we're here, we need a vehicle. We just broke down for the third time last week in the vehicle that somebody loaned us. It's really, really just getting a little too much. So we're trusting God to provide supernaturally that we can get a vehicle. We're not asking for a Mercedes or a Bentley, just something that would be reliable. And if it can have good gas mileage, that would be even better too. That'd be great. So with that said, we have a box in the back. If God leads, you can make a check to LNFI, or if you want, you can write Love Never Fails International. This is a 501c3 charity. You'll get a receipt in the mail and a thank you. And also, you can take a prayer card in the back that has all of our information. And there's an email sign-up sheet if you want to sign up, and we'll keep you posted if you're not already on our sign-up sheet. And I just want to say thank you, Pastor Michael, for having us today just to share about what God's doing in India, how the gospel is being preached, how a nation like India can become a nation like America, and it could become where there's more Christians than Muslims and Hindus. Not saying America is heading in the best direction, But if you've seen India, then you would probably have a little understanding of where I'm trying to get at. And I just want to just close in a short prayer. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, Father, I just ask that you would bless this Bayshore Christian Fellowship Church, Lord. Oh, Father, Lord, I pray, Lord, that Pastor Michael would have all the church members behind him, Lord, as he serves you, Lord, as he shepherds this flock that you have divinely appointed him to. Father God, I pray that you would just raise up new leaders, Lord, that you would take this church to new heights, Lord, that there would be supernatural provision in this church, Lord. Father, I pray for the church members that they would have financial breakthroughs, Lord. Father, I pray for divine health, Lord. By the stripes of Jesus, you are healed, you are healthy. Lord, I pray for that people that are out of work would find a job, Lord, that this would be the day, Lord, where hope would ignite itself in their hearts, Lord. Father, that they would know, Lord, Father, that you are the God that takes care of your children. You're taking care of Muslim and Hindu kids in India that don't even do anything for you, Lord, simply out of your abundant love, Lord. Father God, just bless this church. Thank you for allowing us to be here to share about your ministry, Lord, your work to a nation that you called us to, Lord, my wife's nation, Lord. Father God, just be with these people. Bless their day. Give them a good Labor Day, Lord. Let them just relax and have peace and refreshment in you. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.